Well, it's a privilege to be speaking this morning. This is week two of our prayer series. And as you might have seen, as John mentioned, the branding of this series is really focused around building, building a better prayer life. So looking at the tools that we're given by God to understand how powerful and important prayer is and for us to build better prayer lives. Now, we need God's help in that. It's not just a practical thing that we do. God empowers us to do this and teaches us more about it. I want to ask and a quick question this morning. Has anyone in this room ever, stick your hand up, bought some flat pack furniture from a generic Swedish warehouse? Good. Excellent. That's good to know. I want you to picture the scene with me this morning. So, new house, exciting day, jump in the car. Oh, not yet. Back a bit. Yeah. This is for legal reasons. So, you jump in the car, you hire a van, you get very excited, you ping up to the furniture warehouse, and you walk around and you're like, right, bedroom first. Bed, wardrobe, chest of drawers. Nailed it. Budget, tick, got everything, love it. Load the van up, and you think, right, just before I go, I'll swing past a cafe for 10 round pieces of meat, maybe with some chips and some fancy sauce. Might look something like the slide behind me. And then you decide, right, I'm going to drive home. So you jump in the car, you drive home, and you get home, and you lay all the boxes out on the floor, as we just saw, the next slide. And you look at that, and you think, I got this. And to your horror, there's none of the next slide in the boxes. Oh my, look, the horror in this room just now. I mean, what do you do? If you're like me, you go, nah, didn't need them anyway. I'll get my screwdriver out, get my drill, get my tape measure, and 3 days later, this is what I've got to show for it. And the next one. Potentially, yeah, brilliant. So, essentially what we're trying to do in this series is take the instructions and the tools that God gives us in the Bible to learn how to build a better prayer life. It's all here for us. It's just about reading and putting it into place and understanding what God and how God does it. I'm not sure about you, but when I think about that, I think actually that takes some of the pressure off about building a prayer life because you're not doing it on your own. We've been given everything we need to do it. It just takes some time. For example, if you just left it all in the boxes and came back a week later, it'd still be in the boxes. There's an action point. There's something we need to do, and there's part of that is for us. So as we're talking about prayer, let me pray for us this morning as we jump into it. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that it guides us. It gives us helpful tools and instructions on how to live life, how to pray, and many other things like that. And my prayer this morning is that as we go through this together, that our hearts will be change, that we'll learn more about what it is to build a prayer life, to be people of prayer, and to see things done through those prayers. So be with us, Holy Spirit. Help me to communicate well, as we've just heard. And I pray, that we'd have a morning that we remember and we learn so much from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been focusing on Matthew's gospel throughout this series. I'm just going to read the part of the Bible we're looking at, and probably just a few verses before. I know Tom probably did the same thing last week. So let's just quickly read from Matthew 6, 5 to 10. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you go to pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'll stop there, because that's where we got to in our series so far. I just wanted to touch quickly on what Jesus teaches us about how not to pray before he teaches us about how to pray. I know Tom touched on it last week, but for those who missed it, very, very quickly, the phrase, "do not heap up empty phrases," comes up in there. Now, in modern day times, that looks very different. There's not a lot of people you see praying on the street corner trying to impress people. It's just not what we see anymore. However, I'd like to call these people in a modern day Insta-prayers. You might see an example post like this one. The Insta-prayer, 3 minutes ago, hashtag pray like me, hashtag prayer of the year. Now, what they're really doing there is they're looking for some likes. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that encouraging other people to pray, maybe even on social media, is a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But we need to look at the reasons why we're doing it. Are we doing it to increase this little number 24 here, get a few more notifications in there, see it streaming on the homepage of your phone? Or are we doing it to encourage others to pray? And that's a big difference, and it's quite hard sometimes to see that. Doing it to encourage others is brilliant. Doing it to show how awesome you are is not so great. After all, we're using God's instructions and God's tools to do it. I don't think I've ever built a bit of generic Swedish furniture and thought, I'm amazing. I'm actually amazing. I mean, hold on, let me just get everyone round to look at this wardrobe. Like, seriously, look how good this is. Tell you what, they're lucky that it's me putting this together, because if it was anyone else, it would not look this good. I mean, seriously, have you seen this? What normally happens is I think, oh my days, I'm glad that's over. Now I need to work out which wall to put it on so it hides the bit that I messed up. Or the bit you scratched. That's not the same with prayer. You never get to pray and you think, I'm glad that's over. That's not what we're doing. But you know, you see what I'm saying. Actually, when we're building it through God's instructions, it's exciting for us. So essentially, the Gentiles were chasing likes and approval and recognition about how good they are. The reason I mentioned that this morning is we're going to be looking at God's kingdom. These people were building their own kingdoms, focused on the reward they'd get from others. I'm going to refer to that a few times this morning as the kingdom of Mike. It's a kingdom I find myself building a lot, if I'm honest. And not, you know, I don't want to be focused on that. That's not the kingdom I want to be building. I want to be putting God's kingdom first. But I naturally, as a human being, tend to slip back into the kingdom of Mike. So we're going to look a little bit at that this morning. The part of the Lord's Prayer we're focusing on is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As the title for this preach is Kingdom, or Kingdom, however you want to say it, we're going to focus mainly on that. There are some crossovers with God's will, and we'll cover that as we go through. So the first question I want to ask is, what is God's kingdom? What is God's kingdom? Now, you might be thinking, surely God's kingdom is already here. He created and rules over the whole universe. He can do what he wants, so surely that means it's already here. Now, there's part of that that's true, but if you look at the beginning of time, there's a separation between God and man. There's a moment in history where man was tempted away from God. You know, we thought that we could be like God. We didn't need God. All good, let's do that. And that has led to the sin and evil that's in this world. And I think we'd all agree that the world's not as it should be. You know, all you have to do is turn on the news, unfortunately, these days, and you see another sad story of something that's happening. That's not the way God intended it to be. So we see some of it, but not all of it. The way God intended the world to be is what it's like in heaven, which is why we pray in that prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're praying that. We're wanting some of what's happening in heaven, here on earth, now. So in a way, God's kingdom has come already. But as we look around us and we look at ourselves, we know that it's not fully complete yet. But the amazing thing about God is, even though we did this, even though we turned away from God, did our own thing, he didn't just go, well, tough, that's your choice, see you later. John 3:16, a very well-known verse, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Through Jesus, the Son, we have a re-establishing of God's kingdom on earth. Jesus came to defeat and deal with the sin of the world, my sin, your sin, so that the punishment we deserve gets taken away. He triumphed over sin and death so that we can know a relationship and receive forgiveness from God, our Father, as we looked last week. And we know from reading the Bible that Jesus will return one day and put all of this right. So given the state of the world, why does he not come back now? Why does he not think, I've got to do it now? Partly, honestly, we don't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. But we get a bit of an idea about some of what God is doing in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. The reason God hasn't dealt with the world fully, while Jesus hasn't returned yet to bring the perfect kingdom, the new heavens, the earth, to put an end to the sin, suffering, and death, is because he's patient and kind. What does that mean? God wants people to turn to Jesus, put their faith in him, trust in him, and receive this eternal life we just read about. If Jesus came back this afternoon, there'd be millions of people that don't know him and haven't heard his gospel, the saving gospel that we teach. So he's being patient, but one day it will be too late. One day it'll be too late for that. And the Bible says when he returns, every knee will bow, whether gladly or those reluctantly doing it. And actually he's working to increase the amount of people who are glad to do that. So with that in mind, the kingdom of God is really a gift to us. A little taster of heaven here on earth. I don't know about you, when I wrote that phrase, a little taster of heaven here on earth, that excites me. Does that excite you this morning? Does it? Three people. Good. We're doing the Shoreham thing where it's like, don't know if I'm going to nod yet. Might save my nod till later. So that's fine. Luke 17, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Through the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom is here this morning with us. It's absolutely amazing. We can be expecting of things from heaven here in Shoreham right now. As I'm speaking, as we continue on, we can be expecting that this morning. I want to look at three ways that praying your kingdom come, three things that praying your kingdom come means, and through that, three ways that Jesus shows us the kingdom of God. The first that is salvation. I read through the Bible a lot. Jesus talks about coming to save people. Saving people from that separation we've looked at. Saving people from that and bringing them into his kingdom to have eternal life and to one day be with him in heaven. That's amazing in itself. And another step past that is that we get to play a part. We get to play a part in that. I haven't quite got my head around how that works or why God would choose to do that, but it's amazing. That through our prayers, we see lives changed. Not because we are awesome prayers, and we have got some phenomenal prayers in this church, but that's not why this happens. It's because God has chosen to respond to our prayers. I couldn't give you a figure, but I would say that most, if not all people who have been saved have had someone praying for them at some point. It's amazing. What an amazing privilege for those of us that have a relationship with Jesus, that call God our Father, to know that our prayers, however good or bad we think they are on the prayer scale, they change lives. That's why if we truly get this, and if we believe that praying for people to be saved should be our priority, that we'll see this happen. Now, what I don't mean is a priority when we pray. I'm not saying when you pray, make this a priority. What I'm saying is pray this as a priority. This is something we need to be focused on. The power of prayer is not something that we take lightly. It's not something that we just skip over. When people come up here and pray, or we have prayer meetings and someone comes up to pray, what they're not doing is showing off. What they're doing is demonstrating the power of prayer and how important we believe it is as a church. We're not interested in people coming up and showing off. We're interested in hearing from God and seeing lives changed. It's probably fair to say that a high percentage of people that grow up in Christian families or are born into Christian families, become Christians. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but the reason I think this happens is that they have people praying for them. Probably even before they were born, they had people praying for them. Whether it be the parents, grandparents, uncles, aunties, whatever it is, people are praying for them. However, not everyone has this. No, we're not saying that this is the normality. So why not make it your mission to pray for people who don't have that? Why not decide that I'm going to pray for these people, I'm going to pray for this person? We don't always know the outcome of our prayers. I pray for loads of people in my life. I don't know what's going on. I don't always know what God's going to do. But God hears our prayers and he acts on them. The reason Jesus talked about the kingdom of God just now in Luke 17 is because people were trying to find it and bring it about themselves. How do I get the kingdom of God and take it over here? How do I do that? What's going on? And Jesus says, that's not how it works. There's a great example slightly further on in the Bible. We read a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth. They're trying to decide who they follow. Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? Two of the leaders that they were involved with at the time, or is it Christ? And Paul tells them, well, it doesn't quite work like that. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. Only God can bring about that growth. But we're invited to, as Paul says, plant and water. We're invited to pray for people, you know, to plant. And then when it comes to watering, what are we praying for? You know, we want to be praying for salvation, we want to be praying for people to be saved. However, actually, there is a moment where sometimes God tells us things. He says, actually, why don't you pray about this specific situation? And that's how we're involved. Sometimes we don't really understand what God's saying and we just pray anyway. It might not make any sense to you, but God's trying to teach you something in that moment. So God brings a growth. It's not through our own doing, but through him. It's amazing that we get to play a part. Maybe a couple of objections to this could be, well, I don't really have the time to do that. Please make the time. Please look at your priorities. I have to do this a lot. This is where the kingdom of Mike comes back in again. Focus on the things I like doing, the things I want to do. But actually, there's a call on us to be praying for people. Maybe it's, I'm not a super Christian prayer like the person next to me or the person at the front. Well, nor am I, so that's fine. I'm allowed up here, so it doesn't really matter. If you walked in or listened to my prayer life, I think you'd be surprised. I mumble words, get verses wrong, get distracted. If it's earlier, fall asleep. But God knows my heart. I'm there, I really want, you know, I'm praying for this. And God knows you. Jesus never talked about, here's a criteria for a Christian, here's a criteria for a super Christian, here's a criteria for a mega Christian. Actually, he says, pray your kingdom come. Pray your kingdom come. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's not a challenge. That's not me saying, off you go, go and pray your most powerful and effective prayer. Get one shot. If you make it work, well done. If you don't, sorry, you're out. That's not what it is. It's a promise. As a promise to us. What could we achieve in prayer for Shoreham? If we take this as a face value, which we should, what do we achieve in prayer? What can we achieve in prayer for Shoreham? We recently had a gift day where Matt and Tal talked about having our own building and having somewhere that we could build a big church, see 500 people in our church. Why not? The prayer of a righteous man, or righteous person, sorry, is powerful and effective. Do you believe that this morning? Powerful and effective. Those attributes you see described over, you know, watching the Olympics or football seasons back, which I'm very happy about. If there was a striker or an Olympian that they said, he's powerful, he's effective, he gets the job done, that's someone you'd want on your team. So if our prayers are powerful and effective, why would we not pray? It doesn't make any sense why we'd, you know, you don't have to pray powerful and effective prayers because your prayers are powerful and effective. Tom spoke last week on God the Father, which is helpful for us just to remember at this stage. We don't pray to avoid punishment or even receive more approval from God. But we pray because when we do, we receive God's power amongst us. We see things happen. I don't know about you, but I want that when I pray. I don't just want to babble on for half an hour or less, 3 minutes. I want to see things happen, and that's why I pray. It's not a tick the box, send my report to Matt of the days that I prayed this week so he's aware, and I get a grade. No, I want to pray because God tells me to pray and because it's powerful and effective. So that's salvation. We pray because we want to see people saved. Another part of this is sanctification. That essentially means to be set apart or to be different or to live in a different way. We're going to look at Jesus healing in a minute, but when he was doing that, he was super popular. And you read any stories, he had people traveling far and wide to come and see him, to bring their sick family and friends to be healed. He'd have crowds of people following around. You know, it must have been a right health and safety nightmare. But actually, when he started teaching about the ways to live, when he started hitting such topics as jealousy and money and lust, suddenly people were like, ooh, hold on a minute, that first bit was fine because that worked for me. Not sure about this. And lots of people stopped at that point, didn't follow him on. But he didn't just stop doing it and say, oh, okay, pants, I better do just those miracles again because I need to get 5,000 people back. Actually, no, he knew that this was just as important as the miracles, to teach us the way to live. Mike's kingdom come, Mike's will be done, looks really different to God, your kingdom come, your will be done. With Mike's kingdom come, when the things I'm saying or the way I'm living becomes unpopular or people question me on it or I lose friends over it, with Mike's kingdom come, I'm very quick to go, oh, maybe I just want, and I know Jesus said that, but they didn't like it and I've lost that friendship, so maybe I'll just be quiet and drop that. Actually, no, that's not what we're learning through this. Jesus continued teaching people because he knew that something he was saying was making a difference, was sort of impacting on these people. Whether they turned away or whether they carried on following, he knew that the things he was having, he was planting, these seeds were being planted in people as they understood more about the way to live. Now, there's no sin in heaven. So if we're people of the kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven, we should want to live with different priorities and perspectives. Now, unfortunately, we can get this confused. We preach about the gospel of grace. It's not about our behavior. So there's God, you know, there's in the Bible and there's Jesus saying, you know, make sure you don't do this. Be careful not to do that. Make sure you do this. Suddenly you could think, well, hold on a minute. That doesn't really fit. But that's not, I mean, that is true. You know, we don't do things because we're told to do them and we, you know, tick the boxes and follow the line. That's not our response. When we turn to Jesus and we receive salvation, we understand what it is that we've been saved from. Our response can't be anything but wanting to follow him and the ways that he details for us. It's a huge signpost to the kingdom of God in the way that you live. So many conversations I have with people where they'd say something like, why'd you go to church on Sunday? Or why don't you do this? Or, you know, why did you do that? And actually it gives you a moment to say to people, this is because I'm a Christian. It's because I believe in Jesus. And you get to talk about it. And you can do that. You don't have to do that in a weird way of opening up the conversation as the first thing. Like, hi, here's the things that I do in my life. Actually, just by being you, it's a huge signpost to the kingdom of God. And the things Jesus taught about won't appear in heaven. We'll have no money issues in heaven. There'll be no jealousy in heaven. I want that to be the case in my life. I need help, instructions and tools to help me through that. Amazingly, as Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit, and through him, we're given the power to change our perspective on the way we live life. Of course, we won't be perfect, but we can expect to be changed. We can expect to think priorities and see transformation in our lives that will help us with this shift, to help us focus more on him. And again, we don't live differently to get approval. We don't live in a certain way or do certain things to seek God's approval or even man's approval. We're about something much greater than that when you understand what Jesus has done for you. We're so aware of it that we want to live for him, not have to live for him. When when we look through the Bible and you see things of, you know, Jesus instructing us on the way to go about certain topics, it's not like, oh, come on, again? It's like, yeah, I want to do that. Because actually, I see the way Jesus lived his life, the perfect life that he lived. I want to be more like him. I want to be as close as I can to that. Again, we receive power by the Holy Spirit to do this. So it's a really tough one to understand, and it's a really tough one to explain, and it's a really tough one to actually live out. But things like small groups, things like praying with people at the end of meetings and discussing life and having people involved in what you're doing day to day really helps just with that. So let me encourage you, find ways of doing that. Find ways of talking to each other about how you live and the reasons you do things. And finally, just want to look at signs. Three S's. Ticks the preaching box. Jesus made a priority of praying for the sick. Again, on earth as it is in heaven means no sickness and no injury. That's not in heaven. So we're bringing the not yet kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus will bring with him when he returns, to the now. What will come when Jesus returns, we can have this morning through prayer. I mean, the early church in the book of Acts really got this. They totally understood this. They knew what it meant to see glimpses of heaven on earth. They prayed for the sick to be healed and they saw it. And I mean, you read countless stories. Often you read about signs and wonders. And that sort of fits into that bracket. They prayed for people to be saved and saw thousands respond to Jesus. It's amazing. They just got it. They just went about their life knowing that when they pray, stuff happens. It's sometimes easy to be perhaps content with what we see God doing around us now. Say, oh, it's amazing. You know, our church is growing, or we're seeing people healed, or Jesus is working in this person's life in this way, and just think, awesome, that's great. That's really good. Maybe we even understand what the now and not yet sort of understanding of the kingdom of God. Maybe we get that. But that's not an excuse for us just to sit back and go, cool, God's on it, that's fine. It's an opportunity for us to bring what's happening in heaven to earth now. Not tomorrow or later, but now, this morning, we could do that. We will do that. Matthew 16, Jesus says this to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. If you're a Christian, you've been given a ministry to unlock things of heaven here on earth. That's just the case. Like, you didn't have to work for it, you didn't have to ask for it, it was given to you. A key to unlock salvation, demonstrate the power of God through prayer, see healing. That's good news, right? It's great news. I'm excited for it. What's God going to do this morning? We've got, I don't know, however long left, 7 minutes. I better hurry up. But what is God going to do, eh? Like, what's he going to do? Times, you know, we could have a 20-second prayer session and see amazing things happen. We could have a 40-minute prayer session and see amazing things happen. That's the way God works. So if we get 30 seconds at the end, perfect. There is a mystery around praying for the sick. I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. But the great thing is we know that because there's no sickness in heaven, we can ask for that on earth. It's that simple. That should give us boldness when praying. Now, we don't always see healing when we pray for it. And that's tough. Got so like a lot of experiences in my own life that throws me back from time to time, and I think, why this person and not that person? How does that work? But I know that God can and wants to heal, but this is partly where the will of God fits in. It's in his timing. That can be really hard. It can be really hard I'm not going to skip over that. That's a tough thing. However, writing this talk and hopefully me speaking to you this morning, Holy Spirit gave just a faith shot to pray again for that sort of stuff. It's not been an easy year for us in Shoreham, I think. God, flipping heck. This is not meant to happen on stage, is it? It's not been an easy year, but actually, God's in it. God's with us. Why not? Why not healing? Why not, hey? It's got to change. For me, I've got to change my perspective. Even in my own family, I've got to focus again on how good God is. Right, let's move on. Do something fun. I trust this morning your faith has been increased as much as mine has for what God's going to do in this place. Come on. Let me ask you, what's your response to seeing someone or chatting to someone who's not well? What's your response to that? Is it, I'm sorry, do you want paracetamol? That's mine normally. It's not always to pray for them, but I want it to be. I want God to give me the courage. I don't need the faith. I've got the faith. It's in here. I need the courage to do that. I need God to give me the courage to pray for people in those situations and to be less worried about the kingdom of Mike and more focused on the kingdom of God in that moment. Even with people I don't know, when I say, I'm a Christian and believe God heals, can I pray for you? I'm suddenly getting all panicky over it. What's the worst? Nah, I'm all right, actually, mate. All right, fine, cool. Don't worry about it. Why do we panic over that sort of stuff? God works in amazing ways. There's trust. There's a Holy Spirit prompting in those moments. We can easily build two kingdoms side by side. Mike, God. And we will continue to do so even after this amazing talk. Laughter's not helpful. But actually, the case is that we will continue to do that. But let's really make sure we're seeking first the kingdom of God, focusing ourselves on that. I'm going to close in a sec, so maybe the band want to jump up. I really want this to be a priority in our lives. I want to see us seeking heaven on earth, glimpses of not yet now, but we need God's help to do this. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit. Prayer is a dangerous weapon to the enemy. Dangerous. Let's use it. I want to be dangerous in my prayers. Christ died, rose again, and will return one day. We don't do these things to be more accepted or loved. We couldn't be any more accepted or loved than the day we receive salvation. We'll take communion later on to celebrate this. But just before we sing and Danny helps us to move on, let me ask you a few questions. Who are you living for? And whose kingdom are you building? We want to be a people seeking and building his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Great. Over to Danny.